We hope each and every one of you is having a safe and wonderful holiday weekend. One of those weird holiday weekends where the holiday is in the middle of the week. But nonetheless, we hope you are enjoying it with family, friends, by yourself, getting some rest, eating some good food, and of course, watching amazing sports. And unfortunately for Marver, not being able to get into the movie theaters, but hopefully at some point you get to watch your favorite cinema classics. And we are here on the Sports Cubicle, 4th of July weekend. It is the marvelous one, Dan Marver, on assignment. Devin Tingle, Paul Shavari throughout the entire show. I'm Mike Mercado. And while we are excited to see some fireworks, have some apple pie, burgers, and hot dogs, and watch a bunch of supreme athletes eat hot dogs to show us how bad we do later on, we need to talk about the frenzy that was the NBA start of free agency July 1st, 2023. A bunch of names got moved. The Chicago Bulls made some moves. And I think there is some interesting factors of sports in general that I want to talk about really fast, Marver. It's the idea of making sure you're constantly on the schedule, 365 days a year, that you're not out of topic of conversation, that even if your championship season just ended, even if you just had your draft, that you're constantly on the news. And I think the NFL has been the king of this, right? Like, they make sure that they're constantly, whether it's schedule releases, whether it's award shows, whatever. The NBA has kind of done a good job of making sure that whenever the new season starts, it is appointment television. This year was 5 p.m. when it's T-Shams or Woj drop some of these news. So before we get into some of the actual moves, how weird has it been? I mean, you've seen the entire transformation of this kind of transactions between media and fans of breaking news. Have you been in, does it intrigue you? Is it kind of a non-topic for you? Where are you on how it has kind of changed the way we consume the game, the entire sport, by days like this marked on the calendar?
I think that it's in their interest to keep them in the news, obviously. And so that's a good thing for the sport. And then after July 1st, you get the rumors about where DeRozan's going to be traded. I mean, obviously, Vuk was signed, and we know that. So it looks like there's not going to be a rebuild at this point. So in that regard, it keeps it in the news, wondering what's going to happen. And, you know, that's good for the sport. But, I mean, after the draft, there's usually quite a lull, a little bit of free agency. They'll have a bit of news every so often. But it's generally a slow period. You know, they'll show you some of the games that are the rookies and that whatever are playing out in Vegas. They'll show those games for you. But it's a tough time. I mean, it's a tough time for even Stanley Van Gundy and Jalen Rose, who lost their jobs at ESPN. So that was actually the big basketball news for me.
And I don't blame you. We could sit there for a quick second and we could go on to actual transactions because this is all encompassing. When you think about the NBA, when you think about the NFL, when it's done right, I mean, you could say the same thing about boxing or any of these other moments where the commentating and the whole aura is the entire story building behind it, and losing a Van Gundy is kind of, it's sad. I mean, he's going to land on his feet, but like, they are the soundtrack of the NBA finals. You do think of Kevin Harlan, or you do think of Troy Aikman, and you do think of Phil Knight. It's like, there are names that are synonymous with these big moments, and to lose them is kind of just the changing of the guard that kind of goes into the beginning of this conversation of breaking news. Can you give us the scoops? Everything has to be big. It's either $1 billion or we're not going to do it. And I think bringing in Pat McAfee kind of is a symptom of that. I love Pat McAfee much more than like, and I don't want to hate any of the stoolies, but more than like Barstool, that type of commentary. And I like Pat McAfee. So I'm not mad at ESPN for doing that. But their entire layoffs are kind of a symptom of this, the July 1st free agency day, where it's big money and that's it.
Sure. I'm going to make one correction. It's Rick Van Gundy. Stanley's with TNT, so I didn't want to correct myself. And Rick has been on the main thing with you know, for years. Maybe they'll bring back Doug Collins now.
Oh, stop it. Listen, we can't go one segment in Chicago sports radio without bringing the Collins family here. But let's jump into it. Speaking of Collins, let's jump into some Chicago Bulls and free agency moves and kind of the interesting weirdness that was this past a few days in the free agency market. So I'm just going to go down some names and we'll talk about some big ones, but I know most of you are aware of these already, but like, let's just take a look at it right now. James Harden does opt into the 1 year deal, $35 million, but that looks like it's just going to be a trade in a few days. That's just counting down. We know Dame in Portland is looking to be traded. Looks like the destination will be Miami now that Gabe Vincent and Max Schuss have signed new contracts elsewhere. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But Kyrie staying in Dallas, Chris Middleton staying in Milwaukee, Draymond Green staying in Oakland / San Francisco / what is dynasty team. Fred VanVleet, unfortunately, will not be coming to Chicago. He heads down south and is going to the Rockets. Jeremy Grant stays with the Blazers. Brook Lopez, a lot of rumors saying about him maybe going to the Lakers, stays in Milwaukee. And this is what I've been saying. Milwaukee is going to be healthy, and I think they're going to make a run at the title. What else we got? Austin Reeves staying with the Lakers. Nikola Vucevic staying home. We'll get to this. We'll deep dive into this in a moment, but does sign a 3-year deal for $60 million to stay in Chicago. D'Angelo Russell is staying in L.A. Kyle Kuzma staying in Washington. Russell Westbrook staying in L.A. with the Clippers. Some thoughts, some rumors, some hopes that maybe he would find a way in Chicago, but that wasn't the way the Chicago front office went. Bruce Brown, a huge part of the Denver Nuggets championship season, is now going to Indiana. Indiana is looking pretty good. So is Detroit, and so is Cleveland. So is Milwaukee. Sorry, guys. The more and more we talk, the deeper the Chicago Bulls sink in that quicksand that is the Eastern Conference. But what else do we have? Dylan Brooks also going to Houston. You know, big a spotlight, an intriguing figure in the Memphis Grizzlies season, now going to Dallas. But Max Strus going to the Cavaliers. We'll talk about that in a second, but marvelous. I know this is a guy you're going to have your eye on the entire season, and now he's a little bit closer to home, a Cavalier now, so we'll see what happens. And then Gabe Vincent going to the Lakers. Javon Carter heading to the Bulls on a 3-year, $20 million deal. Interesting to see how this will play out. We'll go into that in just a second. Dante DiVincenzo, who was a rumored target for the Chicago Bulls, is heading to New York to the Knicks. Coby White staying with Chicago, 3 years, $40 million. So it looks like they've made the decision between Io and Coby as of right now. Andre Drummond signs into his player option for a 1-year, $3 million with Chicago. Seth Curry heading back to Dallas, teaming up with Kyrie, who signed a deal. They're both going to the Mavericks and staying with the Mavericks. And I think probably the last fun one that we could say that's close to home is we saw that the one and only Patrick Beverley will be leaving Chicago and signs a 1-year deal with the Philadelphia 76ers. Derrick Rose going to Memphis, hopefully to make Ja realize to stop being a little bit of a dum-dum and how great he is and how great he can be and maybe put it together. But marvelous, a lot of names, a lot of stars, not a lot of stars ending up in Chicago. So we'll stay national first. I think nationally, some really intriguing moves. I think the Suns, obviously with Bradley Beal, look like they've like a really good team with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. We'll see if they're able to stay healthy the entire season and able to make an actual playoff run. Denver's losing some players, but they have the greatest player in the world. I think most Denver fans are going to be okay with a drop back next season, maybe the fourth seed and a second round out. You've made the title run. You have the dominant MVP. You're okay with that. Let them rust and retool. But the Lakers, an interesting combo. It all depends on if you think AD and LeBron can stay healthy and if they're going to load management, if they're going to be able to make a run in the playoffs. But the Eastern Conference, Marver, got deep. There's a lot of parity, a lot of superstars. I mean, we didn't even talk about some of the trades that happened, including Boston, Porzingis and Smart trade swapping. So what did that make Boston better? Did it make them worse? But is Chicago staying put? So let's stay national. Your thoughts of all the big moves, and then we'll come to the madhouse of Madison.
Well, you were mentioning the Bulls division. I think Cleveland is strong. I mean, they already had Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland in the backcourt, and they have Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. So I think that they're on the way up. They got the up. They're on the upswing, and obviously Milwaukee in the division, and I don't know, Detroit looks like they're improving, and so it's going to be interesting. And Indiana, I don't know, I mean, they're kind of in the bull spot whether they should retool or not. So in that division, the Bulls are going to have their work cut out for them. And you look at the other part of the East, I mean, Milwaukee is tough is, again, and I don't know, I'm not sure that Boston improved themselves honestly, so we'll see what happens with them, but they'll still be a very strong team. And, you know, of course, Miami it can come up from the bottom at the end like they did this year. Who knows with the, with Butler and the being the eighth seed. I mean,
what if they get Dame, Margaret? Yeah. What if they get Damian Lillard though? Like, let's say they lost Gabe Vincent, they lost Max Strus, who helped them get to the finals. But you get Dame, and you have Dame, and you have Jimmy Butler. Be interesting to see. You're probably going to give up Duncan Robinson and Tyler Herro, but if you're able to keep Bam Adebayo and you get Dame Lillard and you have Jimmy Butler, you're not an eighth seed anymore. Like, this wasn't an eighth seed to begin with, but you're sure as heck not an eighth seed anymore.
That's true. It'll just, I don't know if there'll be enough basketballs to go around if that deal is made. So, because, you know, they like both guys, they like to make their own shot, you know, so I don't think they're either one of them are at the top of the assist list. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, you look at the rest of the East and the Bulls, I can't see them doing anything but a play-in again at best, it looks like to me. So unless they make a move, there's been rumors about DeRozan, of course, but nothing's happened yet. They talked about L.A. and some other, you know, getting Bamba and some other people, you know, but Christie. But it's still – we're in the July period now, and so a lot can happen, but I don't – it doesn't look like the Bulls are interested in doing much. You know, they did make – they need the three-point shooting, and I hope that – that another Carter's a local product. I saw him play a lot at Proviso when I was watching high school ball more, and he was pretty strong, you know. And I haven't really followed his pro career, but if he can shoot three pointers, I want him. I want Kobe. I want somebody that can shoot three pointers, for God's sakes.
At volume, please. Like, this team, okay, it's one thing to make your threes, but you got to shoot enough of them. And this team didn't do that. And having DeMar, who we all love, whether he's on the Chicago Bulls or not, like one of the beloved players in the NBA. He prevents you from doing that. His game inherently prevents you from being a high-volume three-point shooting team. And I think this front office has made it clear that they believe they're trying to replicate what they did in Denver. The problem is you don't have the unicorn that is Nikola Jokic. You don't. I like Vooch. Who doesn't? A center that can give you 18 and 10? Like, yeah, that's nice. And has a three-point shot and smooth with the ball and can pass it? Yeah, I get where you could fool yourself into thinking we could be the poor man's version of Denver. That's still not good enough in a deep Eastern Conference when you do still have to run into teams like Philadelphia, like Boston, like Milwaukee, like Miami, like New York. Like, you just go down the list and you're like, where do the Bulls fit in all this? And I think the problem with the front office has they've painted themselves into certain corners. They had no choice but to give Vooch 3 years, 60. I actually think that's not the most horrible of deals. I think 3 years, it allows you for some type of movability and flexibility down the road. And he is a starting NBA center in this league. Like, there's no doubt about it. There are not many teams where Vooch is not starting for a team. But with that, like, okay, that's your move. You had to do that. This front office made their bed, and they had to lay on it when they decided they weren't going to move on from this, from Vooch, from this core. And now you have to have enough faith in Billy Donovan, your coaching staff, that they can mend whatever this weirdness is between Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan of me basketball. Okay, it's your turn to get yours. It's my turn to get mine. Instead of being able to play off of each other like they did the first season, and a lot of the times where Zach was deferring to DeMar, we'll see if they're able to fix that. Can Patrick Williams develop? Is Dalen Terry going to be a bust in Chicago, or are we going to have egg in our face saying, man, they saw something we didn't? They don't have draft picks. They haven't developed anybody. They haven't made a major signing, and they haven't shown any creativity to fix this roster. What does a Bulls fan have to hold on to right now? Other than, well, it kind of worked out in Denver.
Well, they have to hold on to the first half of the 21-22 season when they had the best record for a while with the same cast mostly. So that's the thing. And I mean, there's been a lot made that Lonzo Ball's never coming back, but I mean, he wasn't really a factor when they were doing well in 21-22. So
look, these are things that Lonzo does well, right? Like, we know what the team misses from him: being able to play defense, being able to move the ball in transition, and be able to hit a three-pointer. But that shouldn't be the reason why you're depending on and winning NBA finals and on being a good – is Lonzo Ball? We all like Lonzo. He's a nice player. If your whole season is depending on Lonzo Ball, you were never going to make any actual noise in any kind of meaningful way.
Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, I think the point is, by now, they should have moved on from Lonzo Ball because he may never play again, it appears. So I like the idea that they are trying to maybe get people that can shoot the ball. I mean, Carter is a possibility. And I don't know what with Terry, I don't know what they saw in him. They didn't use him. So usually a high draft pick is in the lineup. He was not. And he wasn't injured, to my knowledge, so I don't know what the deal was. But I kind of like Kobe there at the end. I mean, he made the last basket of the season for them, so it's crazy. And then they still, obviously, they still have the grit of some of the other people on the roster. So I don't know. It's a tough thing to really figure out how they're going to improve. But, you know, do you believe in miracles? Yes, Al Michaels.
All right, Al Michaels, if you say so. But I think you bring up Kobe White. I do like Kobe White. He has shown growth. He has shown that he wants to get better. And we have seen him when he's taken a step back, he has pulled himself back up and he has moved forward. So there is something commendable about it. He's made his money. Maybe there's going to be some form of now relaxation for him that he can have that internal piece of I'm staying here. They gave me the vote of confidence. Right. I don't know if you should be going into your NBA season with Kobe White as your starting point guard. Mm-hmm. I think he's a weapon. I think he's as comfortable, and I don't know if he's as, I don't know, as much ice in his vein as like Ben Gordon can do as much as Ben Gordon did, but you know, you wouldn't have felt none of us felt comfortable when Ben Gordon was the starting one on any given night for Chicago Bulls, but it's a weapon. It's actually somebody who does form some kind of danger and has to keep the defense honest. The Bulls don't have enough of that when it comes to 3-point shooters. But like we were talking about the conference, I mean, look, if you look at the Bulls starting lineup or what the roster looks at right now, it's not better than Milwaukee. It's not better than Boston. And the Boston thing is interesting because I do think they took a step back, but I still think they just have too much compared to what the Bulls do. Philadelphia is the same way. Cleveland is only going to get better. It's interesting with the Knicks and the moves that they've made, how they're able to, if for the first time New York is able to kind of put it all together. I'm not sure about Brooklyn. We'll see if they've taken a step back. Atlanta is the interesting team because they've made a big trade with Portland. But, like, is Trae Young that dude? We know he's a killer when it comes to his three-point range and having ice in his veins and whatnot. But is that going to be enough to what is a murderer's row in the Eastern Conference able to elevate the Atlanta Hawks? You know, this was a team that was in the conference finals just a few years ago. And then Toronto, I think, is for sure taking a step back. So I think the Bulls are able to get up there, but you still have Miami, and I think Miami's going to jump up there. So the question is, Indiana, Washington, Orlando, Detroit, and obviously the Hornets. I think the Bulls are going to hang around at 10, 9, 8. That's not where this team was promised to be. That's not what it should be when it has a supermax player, a all-star, and somebody who gave up multiple first-round draft picks to have on this roster. So I guess this is where I'm kind of my thought is going. If it doesn't work.
You're right. I mean, the Knicks, it's like they're trying to do the Villanova blueprint. Yeah. It's like, I mean, they got Brunson, they have Hart, DiVincenzo, and I think they even have Bridges. I mean, that's a pretty good, maybe they'll be able to bring the retired Villanova coach out of retirement.
Jay Wright, let's go.
Yeah, maybe Jay Wright replacing Tibbs. I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, man.
But in all seriousness, I mean, New York, I didn't mention them, and they're strong too. They had a good run last year, but I don't know, man. I mean, what about Patrick Williams? When is he going to be the force that we thought he might be? And then we still have Caruso, even though he was rumored to be traded right on draft day. So there's a lot of players there, and I don't see how it all fits together. Again, they still got the big three, and on any given night, any of those guys can go off for 30 or more. So that's a good thing. I mean, it's better than the paucity of scoring. So we should be happy with what we've got, and hoping we get more.
You're here on the Sports Cube. Hopefully, you're having a wonderful 4th of July weekend. We are breaking down the start of NBA free agency, the start of the new NBA season here on the Sports Cubicle with the marvelous one, Dan Marver, who's on assignment, the great Marver himself. Of course, Devin Tingle and Paul Schreiber throughout the entire show. I'm Mike Mercado. And, you know, Marver, you bring up the big three. And I think this is where I've seen this on social media, and it's something that's kind of disheartening. And you can follow us on social media at Sports Cubicle TV, everywhere else at Sports from the Couch, including YouTube. And of course, check out our friends over at Sheets and Giggles. Feel good this 4th of July. Go to Sheets and Giggles, the Sports Cubicle, Sports from the Couch for 15% off. But this team, the starting roster, this big three, were amongst the top three in minutes played together. That's, I mean, as a sports fan, as somebody who we're always looking for those interesting numbers, those ways to kind of paint a story or to help our angle, there's no other way to chop that up than this team has played a lot together. Even without Lonzo, these three of Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, and Nikola Vucevic have played a lot of basketball together. And it has led to a play-in, and it has led to a downfall in the middle of a season. I don't know how much more can change when we've seen that already. It's not like some other teams, right, where you're like, well, we haven't really seen – like Brooklyn, that run with Brooklyn with KD, Harden, and Kyrie. It was never going to work, but we never really got to see it. We never got a chance to, like, make fun of it, and other than the outside stuff, we've seen this big three play, and we know what the results are. So I guess my question to you, Marver, is knowing all these factors, knowing what the front office has put themselves in with lack of draft picks and where they're at cap space, some of the moves they've made, some of the statements they've made, how long is the leash now after NBA free agency starting on July 1st, 2023, heading into 4th of July weekend, heading into this next season? Billy Donovan gets an extension. Where do you think, how hot is the hot seat for this front office?
How long have they been in there now? You mean Eversley and Arturas? Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be around for a little while. I'll tell you that. But as far as that's concerned, I mean, they did end up in the sixth spot in 21-22, and that gave them the honor of playing Milwaukee right away. They were 46-36 that year. I'd settle for that this year. 46-36 would be nice in 23-24. So that's what I'd like to see. And it can be done because it's the same roster, basically. So we'll see what happens.
So let's play this game. Would you rather let's say that record, right? 46-36?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say that record of 46-36. I think that would be fun, just especially from the misery that was this past season.
Yeah.
But as a long-term view, would you rather 46-36 and maybe an interesting first round, maybe getting to the second round? Hell, let's even say it, a magical run. We don't win a finals. Or does this team need to do all it can to finally get back into the draft? And not into a specific draft, but we need to start getting some tickets for the future. And this is my thinking, Marver. Mm-hmm. It'd be one thing if you were the Miami Heat, the LA Lakers, some of these other teams where you're known for landing and being creative to get these big time stars and to change your roster around. We've seen this Bulls team has never been able to do that. So in my opinion, my train of thought is to now start to think that this team is now going to be able to do that. I think it's the fool's gold, opposed to the way this team has always done it, which, because they can't land the big A-tier star, you have to develop your own and draft your own. So, yeah. If you're hearing me say this, what would your thought be? What is kind of your process in that?
Yeah. I almost have to backtrack a little bit. I just mentioned they were 10 over. And in point of fact, Lonzo Ball on October 22nd, 21, had a triple-double. And then in January 22, he was out with the meniscus tear. So maybe I'm not giving him enough credit, because he was actually on the team during their best performance in the last 2 to 3 years. So, I guess he's a bigger absence than I first thought. But they need to get maybe, he's 6'6", and so now I'm rethinking it a little bit. I mean, they keep talking about him, and I thought it was like overstating the facts, but maybe it isn't.
Right? No, for sure. And it puts you in their mindset of like, that's how much they really depended on this guy.
Yeah, but they next man up. That's where we are now. He's not coming back in the near future, or maybe ever. So, they were working with other people, a Caruso or a Kobe, or and now they've got Carter. So, I mean, they just have to get somebody that can be a consistent contributor at that kind of spot. You know, even at a small forward, big guard spot, they don't need a playmaker per se. They have enough of those. They just need somebody that can come off a screen and shoot. and then that would even be better for the big three if that happened, because that would free them up, because then they'd respect the outside shooting more from the guards. And that would be key. I mean, DeSumno, I guess he's not going to be a major factor, it looks like, I mean, in the plans, although, you know, he did start a few games last year. So I don't know what the plan is. And I think the management has a bit of a leash here. They're not going to be let go at this point. It's only, it hasn't been that long that they've been around. They're not going to bring back Packs.
Just don't bring back Gar Foreman or Jim Boylan, please.
Yeah, right.
Avoid those two guys and we'll be A-OK.
Yeah. And Donovan has a good track record. And it just, I thought they were going to, when I saw the article, by the way, about Rose, comes back home. Well, home to Memphis, where he played for a year. I thought he was coming back home here.
No.
Memphis, yeah.
That would have been the ultimate Chicago move.
Yeah, he played for the Memphis Tigers in that same building, the FedEx Forum, where the Memphis Grizzlies play. So, I mean, I thought he was even older. It seemed like he should be about 40 or 50 by now. But I think he's like 34. I mean, so we'll see.
Shout out to Derek, though.
Yeah.
34 years old and still in the league. Who would have thought? Yeah. Good man.
Right. I mean, I remember that the argument was he was left too long in the game where he got hurt. I still remember that back when he did get the injury. It was a game that was decided and he was still in it.
That's one of those things. I mean, I always went, if I had the monkey's paw or a genie's lamp, that's one of those things where it's like, I just want to see, because we saw what happened with Derek the year before, that they just lost to the Heat. They had two good games. The Miami Heat were just so overpowered. Yeah. I don't know if they were ever going to beat that Heat team, but I do think that a fully healthy Derrick Rose and that roster would have beaten that Cleveland Cavaliers team.
Right.
And there is always that what if. So shout out to Derrick, who has grown in front of our eyes. And I mean, all the setbacks that he's still doing it. So shout out to the Rose that grew from the concrete, huh?
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
But Mark, with that, I mean, you and I were always juicing and wanting and thriving and jonesing for some NBA hoops and for some basketball news, and we got a bunch of it. So I guess before we let the people go to enjoy their barbecue and enjoy some fireworks, what are your final thoughts of the first few days of NBA free agency, getting ready for, it's going to be a little bit of a quiet period until we get into September, October for basketball, NBA basketball, and we start really getting deep into Major League Baseball and training camp for the NFL. But kind of your final thoughts of the first few days for both the NBA and the Chicago Bulls.
I thought they were going to be juiced up by something that happened on draft day, and they did not. So that's been disappointing. So therefore, we're going to have to rely on what's going to happen between now and October. But the main thing is, guys, look out for the cars going 120 miles per hour on Lakeshore Drive today.
Please listen to Marvelous. Watch out for the cars and watch out for the fireworks, and make sure you take some antacids as you eat a bunch of delicious food this holiday weekend. Thank you to the Marvelous One, Dan Marvel, for joining us on this holiday weekend on assignment. As always, gracious for all the news that the one and only Marvel brings to us. And of course, thank you to Devin Tingle and Paul Shavari for always holding it down at the studio. Shout out to the guys. Hopefully they are enjoying their holiday weekend. And of course, thank you to each and every one of you for supporting us over at Twitter at the Sports Cubicle, at Sports Cubicle TV. Of course, everywhere else, wherever you get your favorite podcast, and on YouTube at Sports From the Couch. And of course, SoundCloud, WCPT 820, if you want to hear the entire show. And we know that if you want to sleep comfortably while the summer nights and the stars are gazing upon thee, Marvin, where can the people go?
Oh, sheets and giggles, eucalyptus, baby.
Sheets and giggles. Use the promo code, the Sports Cubicle, Sports From the Couch, for 15% off. For the Marvelous One, Dan Marver, for Devin Single, for Paul Shavari, I'm Mike Mercado. Enjoy the rest of your 4th of July weekend. Please take care of yourself, take care of each other, and we will see you next time.